So yeah, the next point I was going to bring up was a comment on this traditionalist worker party debacle, and it came as a surprise. I must say that it was last week when I read the article on the Daily Stormer that said traditionalist worker party leader Matthew Heimbach charged with domestic violence, and the spokesman quits. It was a shock. It was a big scandal. And anyone that has listened to the show for a while knows that we've had Matt on the show a few times. He is a very well-spoken individual. He has coming out with some really good ideas, and things were looking good. But I also know that this guy in particular, he has been on a journey. He's come from a controversial past, I know that for sure. But I thought that, you know, things were looking good. He was getting into real National Socialism. He wanted an IRL movement, and he wanted to have a presence on the streets. And before this whole controversy sparked out, there was a big discussion in America about optics, you know, the aesthetics. And they were criticizing these people for LARPing as Nazis on the streets with their black clothing and their plastic helmets. And the alt-right was kind of distancing themselves from the movement, as far as I know. But regarding what actually happened now was this triangle drama they had in the trailer park. And I just want to say that, you know, the Jewish stereotype for the white American, the white trash, it's exactly what these people have managed to bring out of one of these very promising movements, looking very promising, you know. And assuming that everything that has been written is true, that I've read in this article, in the police report, and in comments and things, I haven't seen anything that really goes against the narrative. I find it very disgusting. I take a distance, as we say in Sweden, you know. I disavow. That kind of behavior is completely degenerate. And we have things in our movement in place for these kinds of happenstances. We have a rule against adultery and fiddling around with other people's women that will get you expelled pretty quickly. And we also look out for drama. You know, we're not big fans of having drama within the organization, and that thing needs to get nipped in the bud as soon as you see signs, because there are people that get a kick out of drama, and these people are easy to spot when they're coming about. So you're trying to stop that kind of stuff before it escalates. And I don't know, in this instance, it's the actual leadership that has acted out like a Jerry Springer episode. So it's pretty hard to, I don't know, see that coming, because it's the leadership that's supposed to spot these things. So I don't know. Do you have any comments on this?
I came here as a surprise as well. As you said, we had Matthew on the show, and he's very well spoken, well read, and so when I read this drama, it really surprised me. You know, we are in the dire straits, and we have to save our people. You know, there's no time to fool around.
Literally.
We had to, and you know, you have to have a sharp focus on what we're doing, and take the higher, moral high ground here, and we don't act like this. This is what we've been pushed into, 100 years of degeneracy, and you know, we want to go back to our roots, who we are, and this is not representative, I think.
No, and I think you know, America, you need to pull yourself by the collar. I'm not saying that he represents the entire country, but there is so much drama in these white nationalist movements that you know, it's unheard of. And I also read an interesting comment by Andrew Anglin on Gab that got me thinking, actually, about how Gab has now concentrated this large amount of white nationalists in the same space, which, you know, it's the absence of the opposition on these platforms. So what naturally happens is that these ideas that they have starts, you know, corroding or like wearing on each other on this platform. So everyone just starts arguing instead of arguing against the enemy because they're not present on this particular platform. And I see a lot of that. There's a lot of fighting all the time about, you know, pointless things. You know, we are facing genocide. We need to, you know, find one purpose to just go forward.
For me, I kind of have to take a little bit of a different stance than you guys in the sense that it was surprising, but it might have to do with that I've had a lot of interactions with Americans in different movements before. And I kind of saw this coming, mainly because, not to offend everyone that is from the US listening to this, but there is almost a chronicle problem within the American culture that it's become so individualistic that every movement, every group that they start will grow to a point, and then there's this kind of weird struggle of me first. And then they kind of start tearing each apart. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of rumors. And it just keeps on happening time and time and time again. And the so-called alt-right, the whole phenomenon is kind of always irritated me because it's somehow disingenuous because you have something that pretends to be a movement that at the same time does not have an ideology behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the perfect Jewish trick that you take something that is completely soulless and make you think it is something, and then nobody is right or wrong. And in that sense, the traditional Workers' Party was very positive because it actually took a stance and said, we're National Socialists. The problem there seems to be that they were National Socialists in their promotional, say, material, but they didn't live according to the National Socialist beliefs. Mm. At the same time, I haven't seen Heimbach actually speak about this issue. So right now, for what I know, it's very one-sided what happens. Mm. So I'm going to give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt that there is some, you know, drama going on that we don't know. But at the same time, it's really sad that although it had its problems as a movement, it was the best shot the Americans had of something that would be even close to what we have in the Nordics with the Nordic Resistance Movement.
Yeah, that's definitely true. He hasn't commented on it, made any announcement. It looks like he's going to be facing jail time or prison time even. And I know that Tony Hovater, he made a comment where he's not involved in this triangle drama, and we've had him on the show as well. And he's obviously very upset. And he said, it's quite a long post, but he basically says that the people that are in the movement are good people and that they need to carry on. But obviously their brand is tainted. They need to do it in some other capacity, some other shape. But he assures that there are leaders out there and they will come to lead. But it's just like you say, they had the tagline, faith, family and folk, you know? That's not what they were doing. So it's not looking good. But also, as you say, with these individualistic movements, or it's like it becomes, I think with Americans, and now I'm going to offend people, but it's very much a cult of personality disorder in a lot of these movements. They become celebrities, and celebrities are often worshipped, sometimes without any foundation. You know, these people are not perfect. just because they say some wise things on a podcast or they make really nice looking videos with good talking points. You know, how do they live their lives? And, you know, what kind of degeneracy goes on behind the scenes? And sometimes these things come out and it's not looking too good. So having an organization is more than one person. It is it's an organism that a lot of people are involved in, and one person cannot ruin it. Then, you know, then you're doing something wrong. It's not, you know, falling with one person. And well, people, you know, they say that about Hitler and the NSDAP as well, that he had the cult of personality. And yeah, sure, with the history's lens on National Socialism in the 30s, yes, but we would never know, because the whole thing was, you know, kiboshed by the by the powers that be. So we never saw the result of that. Maybe it could be inherited by the German people, you know, because we know that our organization has stood for 20 years and we've had a leadership switch. And this is very sensitive, because they have to carry the torch and keep the ideology sound. They cannot change the path. But at the same time, we have to grow. We have to move forward. We have to live in the modern world somehow. So it has to change. But the foundation of the movement has to stay solid. And it's a very tricky thing. But I believe that our movement is not unique, but one of the few that has managed to pull this off.
I think what differentiates us from a lot of other movements is that, as you said, we've had the change of leadership. But within, and I guess you guys agree, but within our movement, of course, Lindberg is our leader, and we respect him a lot, and we listen to what he has to say. But in our movement, I've never felt that you are not allowed to have your own opinion. So there isn't this one-man show. It's a one-man leadership, but it's not a one-man show. So everybody kind of gets to say their thing and move together. And a good leader like Simon, he will show the way without trying to force people to just do what he says right now, right there, you know, like a, you know, as a celebrity, you know, he's actually earned his respect, and that's why people follow him.
Mm.
And I think that's missing with a lot of movements, that you have a leader and then there's an internal drama, and then this winner of this drama becomes the leader, and he just decides that now we're doing it my way. It's not organized, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and as a good leader and the whole leadership, making sure that the right people are in the right place will make the movement grow in not maybe the fastest way, but in a very steady, certain way. And when it grows, the people with the merits, they move up the hierarchy, then you have a really strong movement. Then it's not dependent on the leader. You know, when you have to switch leadership, then you're not lagging so much, you know, that because you have so many strong individuals in this collective. And that's
a very, very valid point, because in this movement, you are rewarded by competence.
Mm.
So there's no, I've never felt that there's any sort of nepotism, like, oh, because I'm really close friend with you, I'm going to give you this position. That in everything you do in our movement, you have to earn your place and be good at it. And if you're not good at it, you know, you're going to find something else to do, which is, in my way, the perfect National Socialist philosophy, that everyone should do what they're the best at doing and be the best person they possibly can. And I think our movement fosters that in a very nice way.
Mm. Yeah, it definitely does. And yeah, like you feel like you can become who you are, if I'm going to use some vague terms. But yeah. you can definitely just outlive your potential within the movement. Whatever you're good at, that's the position you should have. And you should also do some introspection, you know. You should be honest with yourself. Maybe you're not the best rider, or maybe you're not the best fighter. You know, you need to find your place and do the best job that you can.
Yeah, so. And I think our movement rewards that.
Mm.
And what also comes to the leadership, so a lot of people think that a National Socialist movement is, you know, ultra-authoritarian.
Mm.
But even in the Nordic Resistance movement, which has a clear leader, I've never once felt that I could not reach out and talk to any of the leaders. You know, I'm just a normal guy. I talk to Lindberg and Öberg and all these guys, and they treat me like an equal. And I think in a lot of these personality cult movements that you talked about earlier, it becomes like the leader is kind of isolated from his group. And I think that's not healthy in the long run.
No.
Can you call this organic leadership?
It's like an organic hierarchy.
Yeah, because it comes organically. Who becomes the leader in a certain area or rises to the top? It's just who you are, who you how you work with people. It just happens naturally. I'm trying to philosophizing here, but
I understand what you're getting at, and I agree, because if you look at I think the best thing to take examples are names people know. But if you look at the most prominent names that, you know, you see a lot in our movement, say Per Öberg, him being the political spokesperson makes total sense, because if anyone is good at making a point, good at speaking and so forth, it is him. He's just a natural fit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's actually a really good example of that. It is very organic that the people who are the best at any given job will end up doing exactly that.
Yeah, so, and he is a very interesting character because he's been in the movement for so long and he's done so many different things. He's been a regular activist, I guess, and then a nest leader and then regional leader and all kinds of different things. And now he's ended up being, like you say, press spokesman and in charge of the parliamentary branch, which means talking a lot, you know, standing in the limelight. Like, he's very good at being folkish, you know, a man of the people. And he wants to talk to normal people and explain that we're not monsters. That's basically his agenda, and he does it very well.
And I also think no one can get angry at him.
No,
doesn't matter who he meets. If he meets the enemy, they can't get mad at him.
No, that's
he
true.
Has a natural talent when he speaks to people. It's a pleasure to see him when he interact with, you know, media or just people. He has a natural knack for just be able to see and respond to all kinds of walks of life. It's pretty astounding.
Yeah,
you had Bonnier's TV4 at Almedalen last
year.
You would say that you were the enemy. You have to change your employer. And she's just shocked, like kind of smiling because it's so.
Yeah, she was charmed by it.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see that? She was. Yeah. She actually looked up. She looked up to him. Wow, that was.
Yeah, because he
started thinking.
He wasn't calling her disgusting media or anything. No. He was just saying the truth. Like, you're being.
Yep.
You're being a useful tool for the enemy. So the things like that really shines through when it's caught on video and a lot of people see that stuff. It's great propaganda.